In the Kingdom of Fife, engines will roar to life. Bumps, dips, thrills and spills. ETCC is on its way.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast.
Nice little Channel 4 intro for you there.
Yes, thank you for that. A little ode to Knock Hill, which is of course where we're off to this weekend. We aren't personally, we'll be sofa surfing and watching it from the comfort of your home this time.
My home.
But yeah, certainly looking forward to it. I think it's probably one of my favourites, top three possibly.
Top three out of seven.
Events of the year.
Events of the year.
Okay. And we certainly enjoyed our time when we went up there.
Yeah, I think it's certainly my favourite track from where we've actually been in terms of the overall experience. Croft still remains top of my tree as the best track on the...
Despite getting soaked.
Yeah, but that's quite the Scottish experience, isn't it? But Croft still remains number one on my list, but Knock Hill is definitely in at number two. And if you haven't been to Knock Hill before, I can only urge that you do so because it was an incredible weekend out for us last time.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is normally a long journey for anyone who's outside Scotland.
Or even in Scotland.
But it is well worth going and I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Absolutely. Right, I say, Knock Hill then, 8 corners, 1.27 miles, so one of the shortest tracks we go to on the BTC calendar. One of the newest as well, 1992 was the debut.
Wow.
Yeah. Those who listened to the preview of last year and the year before already know those facts, of course. But there we go. Would you like to have a hazard of a guess of the qualifying lap record? Once again, you've done absolutely no research whatsoever.
It's part of the game each weekend. We get this by now. Is it Sutton from last season?
It's not.
Oh, okay. Is it a BMW then?
No.
Oh, go on then.
It was Rory Butcher in 2019 with a 50.45.
I have a feeling that may get broken this weekend.
Quite possibly so, especially with the new powered-up hybrid. Yeah. Although, weather might play its part.
Weather could well play its part.
As we'll get to. Race lap record?
Hill last year?
No.
Sutton last year?
Sutton, but not last year.
Okay.
2020 for Sutton, which would be the Infiniti.
Yes.
To Infinity and beyond. That was a 50.87. So
okay.
Not too far off the qualifying lap record.
Yeah.
That Infiniti was weird. I went really, really well around Knock Hill.
Yeah.
It was weird anyway.
But it went well anywhere. Yeah. Sutton drove it, but yes, certainly did.
Okay, so looking at the championship coming into here, we believe there's only really four main contenders at the moment. Yeah. We've got Ingram, we've got Hill, we've got Sutton, and we've got Camish, who is already a little bit of an outsider, but within that main four. Turkington's a bit further back. In my view, no longer in the championship hunt.
Yeah, he's sixth in championship at the moment, just behind Josh Cook, who seems to have a small upturn in form at the moment. Camish is probably the one on the hottest streak, although still hasn't taken that crucial win yet.
Nope.
Which is a real sort of like duck he wants to get off his back. But going into this weekend, the weather's going to play a massive part, I think.
Absolutely will.
And we're said to have quite a lot of rain on Sunday.
Yeah, according to the BBC, at the time of recording, which who knows how accurate that is realistically going to be, but at the time of recording, it's due to rain all day on and off on Sunday. Last year when we went, the race begun dry and then tipped it down halfway through. We had a wet race.
It makes it incredibly entertaining, though.
Absolutely. It was a wet weekend for the whole of last year's action. A reminder of last year's action, race one, Jake Hill took victory from Watson from Collard. That was the dry to wet race. When I say dry to wet, dry to horrifically wet flood-like conditions. It's nice of a British circuit that you're actually allowed to go racing in the rain, though.
I was amazed that it wasn't stopped.
No.
Yes, we had laps behind safety car because everyone decided to throw themselves at the scenery. Sutton's engineer didn't want to pull him in for some wet tyres and he kept on trundling around and still managed to score good points.
Yeah,
which was a mad one.
Yeah.
But it was one of the races of the season last year for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely, absolutely. In race two, it was Hill from Sutton from Jelly. A good podium there for the much missed. Well, I miss him, but not so much for you. And in race three, Sutton, Cook and Ingram. So in terms of the actual contenders, Ingram got a disqualification in race one last year. That failed ride height check.
Him and Chilton did, didn't they?
In the wet conditions.
Yep. Yeah.
Then he also went on to get a 10th and a 3rd. We had Sutton got a 6th, a 2nd and a 1st. Hill had a 1-1-14. And Camish had a 14th, a retirement and a 10th.
It's really difficult to look on last year's form and previous form because there are so many different changing conditions at Knock Hill and so many unpredictable things that can happen.
However, you'll be glad to know I have looked back over the last 3 years because I wanted to get a bit more of an idea.
Yep.
So Ingram, as I said, 2023 disqualified 10th, 3rd, 2022 6th, 4th, 12th, and 2021 10th, 6th, 1st. He's had one win in the last 3 years, one podium and one non-score.
It's a real array of finishes, isn't it?
It is. Sutton, 2023 6-2-1, 2022 2-1-5, and 2021 4-1-5, so much more consistent here. Yeah. That means he's had 3 wins, 2 podiums and no points dropped at Knockhill.
Ooh.
Jake Hill, a first, the 14th in 23, a first, a second, and a second in 2022, and a sixth, a third, and a retirement in 2021, which means he's had 3 wins, 3 podiums, and 1 drop score.
Mm.
And finally, Camish, who had a 14th, a retirement, and a 10th in 2023, a 9th, a 9th, and a retirement in 2022, and he wasn't racing in 21. He was back in the Porsches, which means he's had no wins, no podiums, and 2 points, or 2 drop score finishes. So, you say this weekend the momentum, or the history books rather, are with Sutton and Hill.
Yes, yeah, and it's difficult to look past them, especially if Hill gets that car in the right spot, in that purple patch of form that he had just before the summer break. If he gets the right setup on that car, he could be flying this weekend. And he could quite easily take probably 3 top sixes if he wants to. But the weather's going to play a big part.
Yeah, and also Sutton will have the most hybrid he's had all season. Obviously, he comes into this third, which means you'll have a big chunk in qualifying and a big chunk in race one.
Yep.
Whether, depending on how effective that becomes. But you can imagine the grip coming out of the final hairpin or going into the final hairpin to try and get that overshoot to get the outside line, potentially. He has also got, I would argue, the least to lose at this stage, because I think the car is not as good as the BMW or the Hyundai overall. And this is a circuit that suits Sutton very well, as the stats will bear out.
Yeah.
He goes very quick. It is a very quick circuit, and it's somewhere where the BMW has a potted history. I looked at Turkish results, haven't put them in because otherwise we could be here all day going through everyone's results. Hill goes well here, the BMW not so much. The rain could be a big leveler as well.
It's a weird one because you think the BMW should go well here. There's plenty of traction zones.
There is, but
difference in, obviously, elevation changes.
Yeah, I think Sector 2 is good for the BMW. Sector 1 isn't so good with the fast, sweeping curves. That Beamer is a big car in comparison to its rivals.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the Ford goes so well here, because it's a little bit nimbler. That's the front dealt with. Every time I ask how do you think some of the other teams are going to do, I get it wrong. So I'll try again anyway. PMR this weekend.
PMR, I think, are going to have a fairly average weekend for what we expect from them. I think Dobble is probably still going to be the man to beat in the Jack Sears. He's been on such good form this season. I don't see that changing. They've not made massive changes to the car. They had a little bit of a turn up on boost in the second half of the season from the mid-season break, as have the Cupras. And I think that's just going to help with him cementing probably that Jack Sears win at the end of the season. Your thoughts?
Every time I think if we come into a circuit where they might struggle, they don't.
Yeah.
I think that the rain, if it does rain, it's so hard to predict this weekend's action because
massively.
You know, Watson did really well in the rain last year, got the call right at the right time, and that's going to be a big question, who gets the calls right at the right time.
It could be a battle of the engineers this weekend.
It could well be. I mean, PMR should go well here. It's a small, nimble car through the first sector. Has it got the grunt through the second sector? Not so sure, but Taylor Smith in a really good bit of momentum and form at the moment. Double said a little bit of a drop off, maybe you could argue, at Croft last time. It depends, of course, if they can keep it, you know, together on the track and not, you know, send each other off into the mountainside around Knockhill.
Yeah,
that's how they're feeling on the day. I imagine Adam Williams had a chat with them, and
we won't
be seeing that again.
He's probably had a wagging finger out and a sit down with both of them.
Absolutely, and again, the Coopers are one. I think they will go well this weekend.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling they will, and I think, although it's not going into my predictions, I think De Leon might actually be the best scoring Cupra this weekend.
Well, that's not in your predictions.
It's not, but I just have a little sneaky feeling that he might. Smiley had a mixed time at Croft, not all of his own fault. But De Leon had such consistency. Yes, he had a couple of the penalties.
I was going to say, a lot on De Leon depends if he can get the starts right.
That is true. But yeah, I have this funny feeling that he might do quite well.
Turkington and Morgan, we don't really talk about the rest of the BMWs anymore. It's all Hill related. Morgan's having a very underwhelming season.
He is and he isn't. for me. Okay. He's pleasantly surprised me with qualifying in the first half.
Qualifying's been good, yeah.
Which we mentioned in our mid-season review. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it now. See what our thoughts are on all the drivers. Thanks for that. Nice plug in there.
You literally thanked yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Whereas Turkington, yeah, he's just not quite there or thereabouts with those top drivers this season.
No.
And he's lacking that form.
Agreed, although to be fair, Croft didn't help where he was quite...
No.
In two incidences that, yes, as we discussed on the Croft review, I don't think he's particularly to blame for. One, no, and it was a racing instance. That's not helped, to be fair to
No, him. It hasn't, but the only real good form we've seen from him was Brands. And we haven't seen that repeated or even come close to.
You watch him put on pole and win race 1-2 now.
Yeah.
I do think that we might see, I've not gone for the predictions, but I do think we might see a double race winner this weekend. As
really?
Yeah, because that's just, if you can get out.
Even with the weather?
Well, yeah. Put the weather to one side, because that changes everything.
Yes, it does.
All bets are off if the weather comes halfway through a race. But in normal racing conditions, yeah, I can just see, now we've not, well, the tyres will make a difference potentially with the... Yeah, I mean, that's something interesting in its own right, isn't it? The tyres this weekend, we might see everyone having to run them in race 3, for example, if race 2 is wet, declared a wet race.
The thing is, if we get rain throughout the weekend, we may not even see a difference in tyre across the weekend. It might be who's got the newest set of wet tyres.
That could be quite interesting, watching people like, presuming there is no rain, potentially Sutton and Hill getting lapped because it's such a short lap. They're on the hard tyre.
We had this issue earlier in the season at Snetterton, where we had bands of rain coming through throughout the day, and people were really having to work out what their tyre choice was going to be. And even in that last race at Snet, we saw Hill go on a wet tyre
and nearly do almost
the impossible.
Yeah, that will be interesting. That will get all the engineers scratching their heads and earning their paychecks. Absolutely.
Toyotas?
Yeah, I mean, Huff's on a bit of a purple patch at the moment.
Yep.
Cook's doing really well. And then you've got Watson and Moffat who aren't doing so well.
No.
You kind of feel that, obviously, it is the home weekend for Pearson and Moffat.
Yep.
So you'd think they'd want to put on a show for the crowd, see if Pearson's allowed a podium this time. Not that much about that. But I don't know about the Toyota. Because, as I say, it's really difficult because there's one half of each half doing really well and one half of each half slightly underwhelming.
I know they're all the same team, in inverted commas. Yes, they're set out into a main team and a satellite team, but they're all racing for the same goal at the end of it. Do you think it would be better if we had Huff and Cook in a team together, or do you think having that experience separated should help the teammates?
I don't think it makes much difference, to be honest. They'll all be sharing data, they'll all be helping each other out. There's clearly no team orders at the moment because we've not seen Cook have to yield for Huff, and we saw obviously the move at Croft prove there's no team orders at the moment to benefit the manufacturer back to Toyota. I look at it and think that I'm not sure it may make much difference, to be honest with you. I say they'll be helping each other out.
I have a funny feeling they're all going to go quite well this weekend. Yeah. And I don't know whether that's because of the changing conditions, or we saw Cook go well here last season. Yes, it was in the Honda, but he just seems to have a funny way of going well at Knock Hill in my mind.
Yeah, Cook always seems to come on strong at the end of the season when it's almost too late to win a championship. We'll see.
And Huff obviously raced
last year for the team hard and scored points, if memory serves me right, in one of the races, and qualified really well as well, actually. It was the highest qualifying hard that weekend. So, yeah. It's a sort of track where the top drivers are going to absolutely love it because it's fast. It's, well, I can't think of a better way to put it. It's balls to the wall and it's,
it's full commitment.
Yeah, exactly that. And you'll get found out if you don't commit fully. And if you're talking to your Hills, your Suttons, your Huffs, they are fully full commitment trainer for, aren't they? So, yeah, I expect that side to go well. Watson, I really don't know what's happened this season.
I
don't know. New team, new car, not clicking, bit of pressure on the shoulders. I don't know, but it's not clicking for him this season the way it did last year.
He doesn't seem as comfortable in the car. And considering he's sort of in the same position, in coming into PMR, he's coming new into the series, into a new car. Again, coming into this team, he's in a new car, new surroundings. you thought his adaptability might be a little bit better.
Yeah, pressure's higher, though, because he comes in as a champion of the Jack Sears. He comes into a manufacturer team. He's not gone into the satellite team. He's gone straight into the manufacturer team. So there will be pressure on him there. He's going to be compared against his teammate, first and foremost, who is a World Touring Car champion.
Keeps getting mentioned.
Yeah, and has come back to the series and taken to it like you'd expect, a duck to water. It looks like he's never been away. Some of the stuff Huff's doing this season is really, really impressive.
You weren't sure, were you, at the start of the season, whether it'd settle in?
The thing is, you look back over the years and Giovinardi came back and it never really worked. Menu's dabbled in it after, you know, his glory years and it didn't really
Prio
work.
Prio didn't really work.
You know, when Chilton came back for the World Touring Cars, it didn't overly work for a season or two. You know, you're not, just because you're great in one series, you're not guaranteed to be good in another.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of doubt in my mind. That has been put to rest.
Good.
I think if you rewind the tape into the side, I didn't say, Huff's going to fail, this is the worst call in touring car history. I think I just registered a slight question mark.
Thought he could struggle over
getting back into the series, the way it's... And the series has moved on exponentially since he was last in it.
Absolutely.
So, you know. But no, I think he was going to fail. I just have a question mark. But, yeah, him and Cook are in a league of their own in terms of Toyotas this season. It'd be interesting to see what happens driver style or driver lineup wise at Toyota next season.
Yeah, I think they may well have a decision to make coming towards the end of the season, whether they stick with Watson going forward, whether they want to stick with Moffitt going forward. I know he brings a hell of a lot of sponsors to that satellite team. And the experience that Huff has and that Cook has is kind of invaluable in that sort of setting. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the driver market moves at the end of the season.
Is there anybody else you want to touch on before we move on to the prediction element?
I think we should probably have a little look at Pearson, being his home circuit. He went fairly well here last year and he's kind of used to the changing conditions that you find at a Scottish circuit. His form so far this season has been poor, I think it's fair to say. I was expecting more from him. I was expecting more in the Jack Sears, although he's still ahead of Osborne, but we'll save that for another day. But I think hopefully Knock Hill could be the turning point. If it isn't, I seriously worry about the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think the Jack Sears is done, personally.
Yeah,
because
so do I.
Dovall has been so consistent that it's going to take a monumental effort now.
Yeah. He'd have to have, like, a funding issue to not be able to complete the season, I think, for him to throw that away.
Or a chassis issue like Cavendish had last year, where he has to withdraw from three events.
Yeah. You know?
Based on the first six rounds to the last four, I don't really see how Dovall doesn't win it here, and I think he'll win it quite comfortably, which will be a disappointment for Pearson that he wasn't able to challenge particularly well, given also that Pearson won't be eligible for this category next year. He has taken a race win this year, don't forget.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes it even more frustrating, is that we've seen some of the ability that Pearson has got on offer. Mm. We saw some of that at times last year. He has been hampered by the car. You know, he can't help electronic issues, he can't help throttle cables failing. That's not on a driver at all.
Yeah, Hyundai have had a few reliability issues this season, and that's throughout the team, which haven't helped.
Well, it's always the case when you run four cars, and obviously Ingram will always get the priorities you'd expect, but there's more to go wrong on four cars. Yeah. And of course, the panic is you discover it on one car, you think,
is it on the rest?
Yeah, crap, is it on all of them?
Yeah.
Particularly when you get like a fly-by-wire failure. You know, is that...
Or fire.
Chilton, exactly. Yeah. So, if that throttle failure, is that a weakness of the part itself, or is it just not? You know, all those.
Yeah.
And of course, when you take all the stuff out, and you ask those questions. Everyone grabs Rob Ingram's car to make sure his is fine before you then go through the rest of the field. Which I think you've also got to give Halstead a little bit. I'm not saying massive, but I think you've got to give him a little bit of slack on the basis that he will presumably be the fourth on that list of cars.
Yeah.
Okay. So. That doesn't give a free ride for how off the pace he has been at times, but you've got that does come into it. And Pearson, you'd assume, would probably be third.
Yeah.
You know, so that does come into it a little bit. Yeah. Whereas Dovall will be second at PMR.
And I think the fact that they had three cars to look after last year makes it a lot easier to look after two
this year. And on that basis as well, you've got to give a little bit of leeway to Osborne as well, because again, he'll be fourth in that team. Although, I don't think, I say, this is not a free pass for how disappointing, underwhelming those drivers have been at times this season. Yep. I think you just have to, you know, factor that into it a little bit. And go back to Watson, will he be fourth at Toyota? And now I know technically it's 2-2, but will he actually be fourth? You'd imagine it's Cook, Huff, Moffat, Watson.
Possibly, yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
All these politics and rosters and stuff that we don't necessarily get to see from behind the scenes.
Shall we get into some predictions then? Because I'm sure that's what everyone wants to hear is our awful predictions for this weekend. Because
I'd have thought so.
Our recent form hasn't been brilliant.
Well, I'm ahead again.
But we just need to change it up and go again.
I'm ahead again. Right. Poll.
Poll.
3, 2, 1. Sutton. Right, okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, both go for Sutton. Yeah, he's got, as I say, he's got quite a lot of hire underneath him. He goes quick here.
I'd be amazed if he isn't. And
track limits will be the only thing that potentially puts him back.
Track limits and, well, as long as he can get through Q2, where there's the most amount of traffic as well.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But, yeah, I kind of expect him to be there. He's been at every other Q3, so.
My winners are going to be Sutton, Hill and Huff. I can see a reverse grid for Huff in race three.
Mine are Hill, Cook and Huff.
Yeah.
As I said, I fancy the Toyotas go well. Cook went well here last season. And I don't know why, but I just think Sutton doesn't need the win. He's quite happy to bank lots of points.
Oh, I don't know. He's sitting third. He's a way off, Sam.
He's quite happy to bank the points.
I don't think
season.
He is anymore. I think that spreadsheet he's got in his hair joint under his visor. I think we're going to see in these last four rounds a bit of return to the Ash of old. Certainly he gets us back to the top, and then he might calm down again.
Yeah.
But the way Hill's driving and the speed Ingram's getting out of that Hyundai week in, week out, and the pressure from Camish that's starting to come now as well, I think Sutton goes back to leave it all on the line and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Could end up with him not winning anything, though.
Although you'd argue he's won one championship that way.
Yes,
so,
yes, he has.
But we'll have to see. I think we might see a bit more of the aggressive Sutton this weekend.
Okay.
Jack says,
I'm going to go for Dobble.
I just
think he will.
I'm going to go for hometown. I'll go for Pearson. It's all going to come good for him this weekend, and we'll have a Scottish flag flying high in his honour.
Okay.
Generals, I've gone for there'll be a 1-2 for a team this weekend, so we'll have a 1-2 finish for some of the teams.
That's fair.
The whole of the field will score points.
Ooh.
It's not kill. Okay. Carnage happens.
You're hoping a couple of wet races, big smash,
crashes and
shuffling of drivers and tyre choices and all sorts. Yeah?
Cars upside down on fire. It's not kill.
Safely
on fire. Drivers unhurt.
Yes.
It's not kill. It's effectively a glorified stock car circuit in many ways. Lots happens in Lockhill, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then my final one is that Moffitt will be the top scoring Scot of the weekend.
It's funny you go for that, because I've gone for Moffitt to outscore Pearson this weekend, which is effectively the same.
Yeah.
I have also gone for Toyota to outscore Hyundai this weekend.
You really are on the Toyota. I mean, I've got a Toyota shirt if you want to put it on. I mean, you're really on the Toyota.
The only way that I'm thinking that is, obviously it's 4v4, mm-hmm. and I just think all of those Toyotas will score decent, consistent points this weekend, whereas you're going to possibly have Pearson or Halstead falling behind them a little bit.
Halstead is outscoring Watson this weekend.
What do you want to bank on that? And my final one, which has escaped my brain for one second.
Yeah, I want to put the phone down with it on, so that's helpful. Thank you so much. I assumed you remember. One of the top four score less than 30 points.
One of the top four, I think, is going to have a bad weekend. And in that essence, I think it's going to be less than 30 points, which is normally classed as a fairly poor weekend, especially if you're in the title hunt.
And for the sake of the record and the lawyers, that 30 points includes lap led, fastest lap.
It does. Goal. Yeah, okay. All points scored this weekend, perfect. Less than 30.
Okay.
We'll see how that turns out.
And finally, our general one, we're going to go for safety car laps. As I say, it should
be chaos.
Busy this weekend for the safety car driver, who didn't get a whole lot of running at Croft or Alton Park from memory.
Nope.
It's been quite a quiet year for the safety car driver, so he's going to make all his money this weekend at Knockhill. I'm going for 10 laps behind the safety car.
Ooh, okay.
You've got to remember, it's a short lap.
It is a short lap, and you say there's going to be weather changes, a little bit of chaos.
The field spreads, it's got a bunch back up.
Does.
Of course, what happened now is every time he's in, so they just red flag thing. But
yep.
Doesn't matter.
Ooh. So I'm going for five laps. Five? Six?
You're
six
six
laps.
Yeah.
Six
you
laps.
You can go for five if you want.
No, I'm going to go for six, a little bit higher.
Two races.
Yeah, effectively. I think we might have one race without safety car.
Not a knock heel. Oh, we've hyped this up now for a really bored fest, haven't we? It's going to be a really, really dull
weekend.
I'm
blaming you, though, because you've put all the emphasis on this being a brilliant weekend.
I cannot remember, and viewers, listeners, subscribers, please feel free to put me right, but I can't remember a dull weekend at Knockhill. I can't remember a dull race meet at Knockhill.
It's been a while.
I remember a lot of controversy at weekends at Knockhill. But I don't remember many dull ones.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts and predictions for the weekend ahead. We'd love to hear them and see them. You can comment below or put them on our social media on the Race Week post, which is already up and running. And we'll be back with you with a review, of course. We're going to go back to the old format because we're at home this weekend. So we're going to do a review after every race and then we'll have a penalty corner at the end. For
that's a new format, technically.
Yeah, that was, you know what I mean.
Well, they might not. I did. I've also got some polish out for my soapbox, which we might need to use depending on ride heights. Again, we know that Knockhill rain and ride heights go hand in hand.
But now we understand them a bit more. Hopefully the teams will understand them and they can make the necessary changes.
I imagine the teams understood it more than we did in the first
place. Yes, yes. Fair to the teams, although the amount of disqualifications we have with them, you wouldn't think that.
All be revealed this weekend.
Yeah, we'll be back with a review next week.